You ladies never cease to amaze me. How many of you have noticed a change in you since you've been here? What kind of change? Just real quick. Anybody got any more rest? Anybody got any less rest? Anybody feel lighter? Those are good pounds. It's like good cards and bad cards. Those pounds are good pounds. You know, one of the things I say every year that I like so much about being here with you ladies is that I don't ever feel like I'm putting together a message as in having to preach. I feel much more like we're getting together and hear what the Lord said and just putting our heads together. So that's just always refreshing for me. You know, so let's just see what he's saying. You ready? Get your Bibles, get your pencil, get your pads. You need to write some things down. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. And by the way, the team has not talked about the subject matters. But I'm just amazed at how all of them just fit together with everything that's been shared. And I think tonight we'll keep on fitting together. 2 Corinthians 10. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity for the obedience of Christ. I didn't put this one in there, but you can keep that one out there. But the another translation says that this verse this way, NAS. So for the weapons of our warfare are not flesh, they're not natural, but they have divine power for the destruction of fortresses, plural. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing that raises up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought into the obedience of Christ. Now, let's take this verse and let's form it this way, if you will, follow me. If you can have the center of the verse, if you could call it the subject, the whole main thing in the verse, if you could have it as the knowledge of God, and then you have the knowledge of God established, and what starts to happen, secondly, underneath that, now what comes up against that starts to rally against it, speculations and lofty things are things that attempt to raise a level that's going to surpass the knowledge of God. That's going to take over the number one spot. Some other information, some other way of thinking. Something's going to try to crowd out the Word of God and take first place in a person's life in an argument. Second thing is that these are weapons. So what's happening is knowledge of God. Something else is trying to supplant it. You have these weapons that are, in fact, the Bible's next thing it says is a warfare. So now you have thoughts already established is the knowledge of God. You have a battle with other thoughts coming in to try to raise, ascend themselves above those thoughts. And then the Bible says, though, that we have divine, powerful thoughts if we use the Word of God. If we now retaliate back and take the Word of God, which is not fleshly, it's not natural, but it's divine. We pull out a weapon now against what we've been attacked with that has more power than that which you're being attacked with. Makes sense to you? It's a divine weapon called the Word of God. The Word of God's alive. You know, the Hebrews says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's alive. And so whatever arguments coming are coming from a natural world or coming from circumstance or wherever they're coming from, to try to somehow supplant the Word of God, the battle is on. He said, we're destroying speculations. You ever speculate about your life? Didn't you ever bring up the most famous of all the enemy stuff, y'all, is what if? It started in the garden. If you're this, if you're that. Think about the what ifs in life and the speculations. And where the word of God is established and firm and is the fortress in your mind, now something starts to push against it, a lofty thing. It starts to raise up. Here you go, you ready? Against the knowledge of God. The center core of everything is what? The knowledge of God. And we can have a whole lengthy point right here of the word of God is what formed everything and holds everything together. It is the word of God that created everything. And he said, and we could go through, and now the Bible says that he holds all things together that are created and holds together. So what he wants to do is hold us together. And he wants to keep us established, and he wants to project the future for us. But the battle is on. And the battle is all the reason and rationale that tends to come from any other place. Write this down. You ready? We think we're just thinking. But it's warfare. We think we're just thinking. But if you go on and just keep thinking, then what happens is you build a fortress. And when you build a fortress now, you got something that begins to move and supersedes the word of God, supersedes what God's established and his word for you. And next thing you know, instead of having the peace of God rule and reign, then now something else has now moved in, because first comes your thoughts and then your feelings, yes? And so the battle is for your thoughts. And so you just think you're thinking. But it's warfare. We think it's neutral. It's not. So we think we can just move on and just think and be all right. We can think about whatever we want to think about. There's not much consequences. The actual, when I got into this and I saw that, I've never seen this before. When I got into studying this, this verse actually is about Paul talking about his talking to other people, his preaching the gospel. And the application in the truest sense of the word is he's saying this. He said, when I come and I talk to you guys, when I talk to the Corinthian people or anybody else, I'm coming to preach the gospel, which is going to destroy your arguments. And I am coming to take what is lofty in your head of the arguments against God, and I'm coming to destroy every one of them. I am here to take captive your thoughts. Is in the truest sense what he's saying. Because he said, when I preach the word of God and every argument you bring at me, I'm going to tell you what the word said, and the word is going to divinely destroy every argument against God. So you can't see this played out any better than with the children of Israel. This simple thing that we think are just thoughts is a warfare. The whole story, you know the story about how God promised Abraham, and then from the whole life of Abraham, he said in Genesis 15, he says, Abraham, here, I'm going to tell you ahead of time what's going to happen. Here's the word of the Lord. Here's what's established. In the fourth generation, he says, I'm going to bless your crowd and they're going to go into Egypt. But then the fourth generation, they're going to return here to where I am, the promised land, in the fourth generation. Why did they have to spend four generations doing that? They were enslaved, remember? You remember how they got there? Remember they sold their brother? Right? Into what? And guess what happened to their families? They ended up. But he said, once that's all done and figured out, then, listen to this, then he says, the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. But when the iniquity of the Amorites is complete, then I am going to give you permission to go into the land. Time out just for a second. In you and I moving through our destiny, a lot of times God is working on the other end with somebody else. And the timing is not even with you. The timing is what he's doing with the Amorites. And until he can get something straight in another place that involves part of your destiny, then you're just waiting for God to get all that worked out, and then you can move into your destiny. All right? Makes sense to you? Some of you guys are waiting for a husband, and God's got him on an anvil right now, and you wouldn't want him right now. You wouldn't want him now, and every one of you need to say, Lord, keep him as long as you need to keep him. Keep it until his cup is full and you drained all that mess out of him. Don't even bring him my way. You with me? Yeah. But at that point of destiny, friends, that's when it all comes together. All right? But what if he tells you now it's not going to happen? And God's giving you a word it is. They're just thoughts. But that's a battle. So now can you do just like the children of Israel? Wait until the time is completed. Abraham's going to take time. When time is right, I'm going to do this. And then he says to them, you're going to go in and take 10 nations. And everyone in the nation are going to be stronger than you are. Right? How many of you are facing anything that's stronger than you are? Anybody facing anything bigger than you are? Anything you don't know how you're going to get around, go over, you don't know where you're going to get, you can't make it work, you don't know? Yeah. Say this with me. Say, so what? He told them ahead of time, everything you face, you're not going to be able to do. See, it's not about your ability to do it. It's can you believe what God said? It's that knowledge, again, being established. You see, are you following me? This is the word of God. Did he say they're going in? Yes or no? Yes. But now what looks like is they're not. Why? Because things are stacked against them. What are you going to decide to believe? Are you going to let this other information now come in and creep in and absolutely tear down the knowledge of God? Well, that's what's going on all the time in our head. You know, it's almost like the chicken and the egg. You know, the chicken has to fight out of the egg, because if you're not strong enough to fight out of the egg, you're not strong enough to exist. Are you with me? So that whole thing, he said, I'm going to get you there. We all have to conquer things that are bigger and stronger than we are. But we always will. And that's part of the battle. But the battle is when you face circumstances and situations, can you keep the word of God in its place and not release it and not let it be something that, in fact, the enemy steals from you? So we're not talking about thoughts that are just psychological stuff. But we're talking about the word of God that pulls down strongholds. Paul said, I'm giving you a weapon, an understanding about this whole thing that you need to understand, because where your mind goes, your destiny goes. Would you agree? Where your thoughts go and what starts to happen in your head and drops down in your spirit, you know, that's your territory. That's your kingdom. And no one else can get in there and fight that fight for you. No one else can control that. But you got something established, God's word. So what is a stronghold? Now, how did it get established? And again, I couldn't think of any better concept to think about than what happened with Israel. They had God's word to go in. By the way, do we have God's word that says your future is good? Does God have a good future for you, yes or no? Can you depend on him? Can you trust him with your life? Can you trust him with your future? Can you trust him? Yes or no? Can you trust him? And yet, the spies went out, and when they came back in, they gave a bad report. So the first step in building a stronghold, I think, is you hear something. Or you think something. It's just a thought, remember? It's just a thought. They heard it. Secondly, they pondered it. How many of you know that once something starts to happen that grabs your attention, it can just get on an automatic cycle? Yes? Just on a side note, the way the mind works, the more you think about it, the more the cycle runs, the stronger of a force it creates. Because we're on the way of building a fortress, you with me? And the fortress is getting stronger. It's starting to mold and shape the more we ponder, the more we think. Right? Then you remember the two spies that came out, Joshua and Caleb, gave them a good report. And what did they do with the good? Joshua and Caleb says, okay, they did. Yeah, they were big, you're right. But we've never done anything anyway. It's always been God who delivered us. Let's keep the word of God where it is. And let's don't let doubt, size, nothing become cast itself above the word of God. Let's don't do it. Keep it. And what did the people say? No, they made a choice. They said, no, we can't go in. They're too big for us. And there's some point in this fortress playing where decisions are made and choices are made and alignments made. Because the big thing the enemy tries to do for all of us to get established in this territory is tries to establish an agreement somewhere inside of us they decide it. And ultimately, the last step is now they reject God's word, which said, you can go in, I'll give you the land. They reject God's word. And they choose the circumstances and what the interpretation is over God's word. Now think for a moment with me. What God says about us, it's written in his book, what he wants for us, what his spirit tries to convey to us. And yet what he has to work through ultimately is what is in our head. He's got to get agreement with us as well. The enemy's after agreement, but God's after agreement. And so now when it comes time where you and I have to come back and we start to have to face and we start realizing some of these things. Now, we have got to find the word of God, the fortress, the powerful element of the weapon to lay in against it. Now, for instance, how many of you grew up, had a few things that you had to work through about you from your household you grew up in? Anybody? Yeah. And probably still work through some, yes? some of those would be strongholds. Some of those would be thinking that has developed for a long time, and you pondered it, and you thought about it, and you've come to a conclusion, and you let something settle inside of you, and that's the way it is. That's just the way it is. And now Paul comes and says, wait a minute. You can take the word of God and reestablish it as top priority inside of you. You can choose a powerful stronghold now, and you can begin to project yourself into your future, which God has for you. So just think with me. What conclusions has the enemy been trying to convince you of your future? Of your family? Of your health? What's he been saying about where you are in life? What's he been trying to convince you of? That if he can get you to buy into it, now he controls your destiny. What is it that is totally, now that you're sitting and thinking, is totally against the word of God? You just never have taken time to line it up and see what is what. Wait, what is this? How about your kids? Now, how many of you remember when you first came to Christ and you started having that collision where the word of God clashed with your old values? You remember that? Clashed with your head. You just had the whole thing going on continually. It was new information and you were just growing because why? Because you identified some of the strongholds and it was beginning to work. Now look what it says in verse 5. Casting down imaginations. Casting down. Let's go back to the root word. Casting down images. Casting down arguments. See, a stronghold is not just made up of one word. It's something you've thought about and come to a conclusion. It's a whole argument. It's a whole thing that's been happening. It's a way of thinking. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, how do you cast it down? You cast it down with what is true, and that is the word of God. So what does the Bible say about you in that one in that area that the enemy's been trying to fight you so much in? What does the Bible say about that? And what you do is you find what God says, let him lead you. What I would encourage you to do is just write some things down and get real clear on what the enemy and maybe some past strongholds, things you need to work through, and then find some scriptures, find some powerful, alive weapons that you're going to begin to address these things with now. It's interesting that along with the scripture, along with this powerful weapon, he's also given us the authority. He's given us the authority. When I got married to Dean, you know, she took my last name. And, you know, just one simple side effect of that is she can take our checkbook and write every bit of money out of the account I got. Because she has the authority. And God's given us the authority to use his word, use what's truth, the authority. Now we have verses like this. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound where? Right, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed. Do you have the authority to do that? Yes or no? So what are you binding? These things that now are in place, and now you start to go to work on them, and it's like a plant, and you start to dig around the root system. And you start to say, wait a minute, you got a hold in here. No. I have the authority. I bind that system now that's down in the root system of my head and my belief system, my thoughts. I bind it in the name of Jesus. I bind it in the name of Jesus. I bind it in the name of Jesus. And what I loose now is the word of God in that area to supplant it. Is I'm going to begin to think. I'm going to begin to believe exactly what God says. Right, look here with me. Look at 2 Timothy 1:7. Read it out loud with me, would you? For God has not given us a spirit of what? But of what? And of love and of what? Now, what I just read to you, that is a weapon, a strong weapon. Would you agree with me? Now, Megan then did a good job establishing the fact of that there's a natural fear. If I go up on a rattlesnake, you know, I'm gonna back off of that bad boy. And no fooling with that. But then that there is, now I want you to follow this with me, I want you to see it with me. Let's go back to the children of Israel. Now they're standing in a place where God told them that he's given them the land. And now what they see, it looks too big for them. That fear right there at that juncture is a fear that you and I, we're going to have to conquer if we're going to move into the land. What you're looking at and what the enemy brings, that again, to catch this thing, that collides with what God says. At that point, the fear is not from God. If it's not from God, it's from the situation, it's from someplace else, but it's not God. God said, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but I gave you a spirit of what? Of love and of a sound and of power. And so when it comes, the alertness factor of us being alert when he tries to send it, that we recognize what it is, that God's not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Did you say that out loud with me and say, God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but what he gave me was a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And everything else that comes against it, I am choosing God's word. I am releasing my faith. I am making a decision. I am putting my trust down. I'm releasing my faith. You will not control me, the enemy. You will not control me. I will be controlled by God. I choose in Jesus' name to take authority over that lie. Now, I want you to spend 2-3 minutes talking at your table. Just talk for your table about this whole concept right here we're talking about. Just talk. Begin talking. I'll give you 2-3 minutes. Talk. Where are you with this? All right, I'm going to give you a chance to talk again in just a moment, but let me make another point and then you can talk again, all right? Here's the heart of the matter, what's on my heart. The whole storyline of God creating Adam and Eve in his image, the image bearers, and gave them dominion and authority as human beings and gave them this planet and told them to have dominion over it. And we don't understand how... I mean, they were functioning, you know, at 100% before the fall. And mentally, we're down around 10% or somewhere. True. And so we don't know what it's like to even think about how you function at 90% more in the mental realm or in the emotional realm or those kind of stuff before the fall happened. But they had dominion over the planet, and it was a title deed. Satan had been cast out of heaven, his archenemy. He had no authority. God stripped him. The only thing he had going was deception, but he deceived the angels. So he came to a planet that God had given to man, Adam and Eve. And he came in and he asked this question, or he made this statement. If you eat this stuff, you will be like God. Now, were they already like God? Why the question? Because if they don't know they are, then he can lie to them. You remember he came to Jesus? First thing he wanted to know is, do you know? Jesus said, you know I know. So when he lied and they bought it, by legal transfer, he gained the authority of this planet. Somebody said, why didn't he just squash man, the whole thing, in the dirt and pick up some dirt and make another one? He didn't own it. It was plain through that scripture. It was a legal title deed. And what started unfolding in this whole concept now, which ultimately ended up tricking him, was the plot to get the human race back and get the planet back and get the authority back. And that master plan went into place that Satan could not understand. And that's why Jesus was born from a virgin and became a man. Because he had to have a man to get this thing back. A human being that he'd given it to. And a human being had to get it back. And so God became man. So not only could now he be a man and then live sinless, but then also he could die for our sins, take care of the sin factor, take care of the title deed factor. And now when he had Jesus in the grave, which he did not figure out, he says, now I got him. And God said, no, his dad was not Joseph. His dad was me. His mom was Mary, and so he was natural, a pure human being. And so now as a human being, he's take care of the sin factor, but I'm going to raise him from the dead because now sin can't hold him because it's illegal to hold somebody who has not sinned. And so now the whole climactic, y'all too young to remember Perry Mason. I don't know why I even think like that, you know, but the whole Perry Mason scene of entrapment happened. And then that authority of the whole planet and of God came back in him. And he rose from the grave. That authority came out as now a victor, a human being, the second Adam. The second Adam, second man. Laid aside his godness. Every miracle he did was simply because he had the authority of God on him as a man. To show you and I what it's like for a human being to wear this earth suit of humanity and operate in the authority of God. And so then he rose. And now he told his disciples, I'm giving it all to you. You've got this authority. I want you to take it and use it and go with it. But somehow in the course of Christianity, what happens is it turns into some kind of a mostly moral issue. And of course, you got morals to deal with. But we're not measured by that. God gives us his gift of righteousness, yes? So are you going to accomplish something in God because you're good enough, huh? No. You do something wrong, you get forgiveness, and the advocate straightens it out, and you're going about your business. Go on. You know? Because you said, the devil said, but you messed up yesterday. You say, well, I got it straight now. He's forgotten about it. So you see, you don't, might as well not bring it up anymore. That's one of those weapons again. I got news for you. Let me get a strong weapon, a really strong weapon. I am the righteousness of Christ. Just blow him up. Now, follow me with this. So instead of it, Christianity being God's men and women, now walking in the authority, claiming and demanding that the kingdom of God come, releasing God's kingdom, they've come in some senses in a way of they just pray about it all and ask God to do it. God, would you do that? Don't I give you the authority to do that? You know, Uncle Joe there, he's acting like a weird old dude. Yeah. Yeah, you know why? He got a weird somebody in him. Why don't you help the boy out? Yeah, I remember. I remember when I was riding in the car, and I was in between. I got saved at an early age, and I was riding in the car. As a teenager, I couldn't figure church out. And y'all know most of my story. And I got really weirded out, you know, with the whole thing. And so I was just riding in the car late one night by myself. And this demon manifested in my car seat. And I'm riding along, and all of a sudden, I see this joker in my car seat. And he's ugly as hang. I'll tell you what, demons are not pretty. I reckon they can dress up pretty, I don't know. But there, the one I saw wasn't pretty. And he had his head laid back, and he was laughing. And it was this deep laugh, like, ho, 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 ho. And he said, I got you, and you're going to never get away. And I felt the coldness. And I felt that moment, it was almost like things were being weighed in the balances. And all I can say is it was from God. Something rose up inside of my belly. And I looked at him and I said, because again, this was in the state when I was trying to figure everything out. And I looked at him and I said, if the Bible is true, the Word of God is what I think it is, and Jesus is who I think he is, and the blood is as powerful as I think it is, one day I'm going to take that book and take that blood and I'm going to break your back. And he was gone. I wonder what would happen if I'd got down, which is heavy. It's all what happens on all the TV movies of all these priests and everything, you know, when they try to cast them, I'd throw them out of windows. You know, spit up that green stuff on them. You know what I mean? What would happen if I'd got down and said, oh, please, Mr. Devil, would you please go? Come, go, come, go, go. Casting down imaginations. Realizing what's going on. But A, you got to know the Word of God to realize something is coming against the Word of God. So you got to have something there, or friends who can tell you. I mean, it really is important to have friends who can tell you, your thinking is not biblical. You know, I hear you going around this stuff, but it's not what the Bible says. So now you have this whole thing given to us. Let's look at a scripture, 1 Peter 5:8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because you're who? Adversary. How many have one of those? Who is he? The devil. He does what? He's walking around like a what? Right. Seeking. Who is that? Huh? Not me. Not me. Is it you? He's seeking. When he comes up and says, oh, do you have a destiny? Oh, I don't know. If you don't know who you are, he's got you. Seeking whom may he devour? Somebody who doesn't understand what I'm telling you, and will buy a whole bunch of junk when he comes to sell it, and not realizing it's from him, and not standing up and saying, that will not happen here. I am not buying that, no way, Jose. All right, I'm righteous, yes. I have authority, yes. Over him, yes. So now I take that authority in the name of Jesus. Yep. We got started early in this besides, you know, growing up in it. Then in our first year at college, we're down in Pensacola, Florida. And we hear a knock at the door. And this guy comes to the door, and he is white as a sheet. He is just white as a sheet. Let him in, asking what's going on. He had his wife with him. He said, I woke up in the bed. She was straddled me. When his wife was living, straddled me and had a butcher knife in her hand. And this male voice was coming out of her mouth and said, I'm going to kill you. He was white as y'all are. I mean, white. Scared white. So I don't know why I came up with this plan. It was just, I thought it was a great plan at the time. I said, Dean, take her in another room in there. Let me talk to him for more so I can figure out what's going on here. So he takes her and goes in the bedroom. And so I said, what? Tell me what in the world is going on? So we got talking just for a little bit. And by that time, I heard something go, bam, bam. I ran to the bedroom. And that old gal was leaning up against the wall, sitting on the floor. Dean is standing there. I said, what happened? He said, she come at me. She said, I was going to kill him, and now I'm going to kill you. I said, what'd you do? He said, I took out my finger and pointed out, and I said, you ain't going to kill me. In the name of Jesus, I command you to stop right now. He said, a force hit her and threw her back up against the wall. And she sat down in it like she was somebody poked her out, knocked her out or something. I mean, I went out and said, well, you go, Dean. I closed the door and went back and talked with the guy some more. Yeah. Be vigilant. What does vigilant mean? Conscious. And that was part of the whole thing I wanted to do, is make you guys conscious. Vigilant. Be alert for your adversary, whom he may. See, the Adam and Eve thing could have turned out altogether different if they had simply responded different. Whom he may, it's people that he can take and do that with. Luke chapter 10. I tell you, let's pause here and take a moment there. I want y'all to have a conversation around the table about anybody, the enemy has been involved in your life, and you just have not yet stopped and said, you know, I think the enemy is just up to something here. Somehow you just never, until you're sitting here, you think, this may be some areas he's working in my life. Go ahead, talk around the table again for 3 or 4 minutes. All right. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. We've already read verse 8, verse 6 and 7. First Peter 5. You ready? Let's look up here with me. Let's read it out loud. All right. Come on. 1, 2, 3. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, so that in due time he may exalt you. Cast all of your... Read that one more time. Cast all of your... Where? Why? All right. See, again, here's the part even with the authority issue. And that is, it takes authority to even cast it on him. Follow me with this now. Do you ever think that people pray for stuff that they have the authority to do and God's going to wait for them to do it? God, would you take this? Would you take this off of me? That's a legitimate prayer, right? But sometimes, friends, this is the word of God. This is the argument that the enemy is coming against. And what does it say do? Who does the casting? Who gets rid of it? You follow me with the yin and the yang? Sometimes we expect God to do something that is in our court to do. Get rid of it. This looks like attitude to me. I mean, this attitude. The word cast is a real strong word. It literally means forcibly throw. I mean, it means you got to get into this thing to make it happen. Remember the blind man screamed out for Jesus to help him? Get involved here. Here you go. Something's happening here. All right, let's read one more verse. It's Matthew 28, 18. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you will. Let's read this one together. Stand with me. Let's read it together. And Jesus came... Come on. And spoke to them, saying, authority has been given to me, heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All authority has been given to me, and so all authority I'm giving to who? You. All right, I want to do a practice exercise, because some of you have never done anything like this. But I want you to go home just ready to go with it, all right? All right, I want you to find a partner. All right, find a partner.
Three can get together if you can't match up with two. That's be all right. But here's what I want somebody to do. This, if you're uncomfortable, that's fine. You're always learning you're uncomfortable, right? Here's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in you laying hands on somebody. I'm interested in you using the name of Jesus. I'm interested in you using your authority that God's given you to minister to that person. Now, we're going to do it as practice, but I'm believing God for it to move over into specific areas that somebody's going to ask for. Because in a moment, I'm going to say, change. I want you to change to another person. All right? And if they don't have anything particular to ask you for, I want you to think about it. You know? Because the enemy, whether it's, there's some area where he's involved, I guarantee you. And so usually when I start my house cleaning, I just start and go through a whole list of stuff. I start walking around my house. First thing I do, I start walking around my house periodically. And I said, all right, I take authority over this house and everything in it. This is my house. Yes? And it's the atmosphere you've given me. And all this crud people brought in here, we're getting it out. So everything that's just hung around in the corner somewhere, think you can hide around in here. Next thing you know, you got other stuff happening, strife. No. Your day's over. You understand? Get out of here in the name of Jesus. Then I go through and I pray over Dean, you know, whether she's home or not. You know, she's not even home. I pray over her. In the name of Jesus, take your hands off her. Whatever you got planned against her, I command right now it stop and go to neutral. It's not going to happen. It's over. I take authority over you. Then I begin, God, to just ask him to give me stuff like finances. God, right now, I got your word concerning finance. You want to bless me, yes? That's the word that's established. And so now everything is coming against that. It says it's not going to happen. Da-da-da-da-da. I reject in the name of Jesus. And I take authority over my finances. And I release them and bless them in Jesus' name. Are you with me? Then I do the kids. I mean, I do it with the whole church. I pray for you guys. Like I'm going to do right now. Then I want you to pray for one another. But right now, every single one of you, I bless you. I know. Wanda, did you take the sword home? Where's Wanda? That's where? Oh, it's in the car. Okay. I got a sword right here. All right, here you go. You ready? I got a sword right here. All right. Every one of you women, I freshly and anewly, I just declared this word to be on you, and you are women of the Almighty God, anointed with the entire power of the Godhead. You've been given the deed to this planet. And I just anoint you for fresh rulership in Jesus' name. Take authority right now and go at it with each other. Go on, get on. Get with it with each other. Lay hands on somebody. If it's your first time, tell them, I've never done this before, but the Bible says do it, let's do it. Lay hands on somebody and pray for them. All right, everybody stop. Stop for a minute. Everybody stop. Stop, stop. I hate to interrupt your prayer, but stop, 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 stop.
Seriously?
Do not go on automatic pilot. I don't want any, I know I'm telling you how to pray. I don't want any prayers like, Jesus, would you please come and somehow help this poor soul? No. This session is about authority, all right? And I want you to pray. But if they ask you to pray for something, I want you to go out and use the authority God given you, and you say, I take authority over that thing in Jesus' name. You know, or somehow you'll get the whole point I'm talking about. But don't go in and mammy prayer like some religious prayer. You know, right? Go ahead. You know what I mean. Get on with it now. Go ahead. In Jesus' name, get at it. Just close your eyes for a moment. And Father, I pray that you would cause what you are doing now to settle deeply inside. I bless these ladies with a great night. I bless them with a good night's sleep. I bless them with what the Bible calls fellowship, friendship.
no greater love. The woman giving herself up for another. And let healing happen, wholeness. Because of vulnerability. Because we understand that the enemy comes and there's warfare going on. But we also understand that you've given us authority. And we take that authority in Jesus' name. Now, before you go, I need you to pair up one more time. Just pair up with somebody. Quick, pair up with somebody again. Just pair up. I want you to place your hands on them. Go ahead and pair up. I'm gonna lay hands on them. I want you to bless them now. Just bless them. Just bless them with all kind of things the Lord wants to just, all kind of good things. I'll just bless you.